Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theatre in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Quite right, too. And so we welcome once again to a Friday morning the delight and sheer wonderment that actually is Richard Fitzwilliams. Welcome, Richard. How are you?
Well, I'm most grateful that I had yesterday because Golden Globes.
Richard, yesterday
you intriguing and extremely quirky were announced.
Just hold it momentarily, Richard. Hold it momentarily. Let's set the scene on this because I know you're keen to actually go. Yesterday, of course, for our Thursday listeners, we had the delights of Arthur McKenzie, who stepped into your place, and we did a feature with Eddie the Eagle Edwards. So I think that's it's all only good that we can work through that. Can I quickly introduce you to our team co-presenter and soon to be Midweek Drivette, although she's just on the Friday show so far, young actress who I'm sure will be well in the international who's who before too long. That would be the wonderful Heather Errington. Heather Errington, Richard Fitzwilliams, consider yourselves duly introduced.
Good morning.
There we are, you see, Richard, it would have been most remiss. What would Liz Brewer have actually said if I didn't actually do the conventional etiquette of broadcasting by introducing folk who are in the studio with those who are online?
Important.
Exactly.
And two words in the Sam Goldwyn once said.
Those two words from Sam Goldwyn?
Important.
Nicely. Yeah, see what I did there. Yeah, I know. I always prefer two words, superb. But let's move on to your role as ever as editor of International Who's Who. I mean, four things to really talk about this morning.
Yes, Who's Who.
Yeah, the Who's Who. So, published, of course, by Bloomsbury, a valuable work of historical record. Entrants can write their own entries but can omit parents, education and imprisonment. Criteria are often quite obvious and listed only broadly. History is fascinating. Churchill rushed wartime supplies of paper to keep it going. And, of course, it makes its own rules. Tony Benn and Arthur Scargo were both included against their wishes, and George Burnshaw was allowed to call himself brilliant. Not under Richard Fitzwilliam's watch, I'm sure. Richard, you were, of course, editor of International Who's Who.
That's
and,
right, yes.
And now it would seem, from your latest Facebook entries and other elements in The Independent as well, 'twould seem that the latest entry... Well, you're not happy, are you, Richard? Not too happy at all.
Not happy, because Who's Who is, to put it, a friend in a sense. I mean, International Who's Who had 20,000 entries from most parts of the world. Who's Who is mainly British, but not entirely British. Now, I'm not happy because, firstly, if there are certain fields which you should, with a book as prestigious and up-to-date, or ought to be up-to-date as Who's Who, take notice of, and you don't, somebody should point it out. Now, if you look post-millennium, they put in Muhammad Ali in 2006. That's what I said. That's what I meant. Robert De Niro, Mel Gibson, Madonna, quite recently. Now, that's nonsense anyway, but I was looking up those who should. I'd assumed they were in, because most top Hollywood actors are, and also top directors. Those of us familiar with Quentin Tarantino, Brigitte Bardot, Roman Polanski, one could go on and on, but what I discovered was there's a definite vacuum when it comes to cinema. There's no question about it. If you've got Kate Moss, you also should have Naomi Campbell. I mean, we can always play this game, but in popular music, in contemporary art...
Richard, are you saying Naomi Campbell isn't an international Who's Who?
It's a British Who's Who, of course. I had her in years and years ago, and Naomi Campbell made it in 1992. Muhammad Ali made it in 1975, which is when I took over International Who's Who, and so did Elvis, who never made it in Who's Who, which is full of a certain number of singers.
Well, Naomi Campbell gets into Who's Who, Elvis doesn't.
But it's nonsense, because if you look at the Oscars and what's likely to happen, what about Benedict Cumberbatch? What about Mark Rylance, nominated at the Globe yesterday for Bridge of Spies? What about Keira Knightley? Not a nominee this year, but she has been. What about Chiwetel Ejiofor, who actually won, as you know, for 12 Years a Slave? What I discovered going through numerous entries was that there was no rhyme nor reason. It was completely erratic and, I fear, pretty ridiculous in these fields.
Okay, let's get the voice of the recently graduated to the fore here. Heather, as a drama graduate, you've been hearing Richard obviously singing the praise of a number of well-known thespians there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you share his pain about this omission or these omissions from Who's Who?
Yes, I do. When you mentioned Keira Knightley, I don't know what your thoughts on her, but I don't think
I have a love-hate relationship with Keira, but the fact are she is an international superstar. You can't dispute it.
Yeah, no, true. Her talent.
I take it, Heather, you're not a Keira Knightley fan.
I am not.
Well, I am frequently not, but then she comes up with a performance that proves me wrong. But if you look at Anna Karenina and if you look at The Duchess, she was terrible in those.
That's what I was just going to say.
Well, never mind. But
if you haven't got Benedict Cumberbatch in, something's seriously wrong. I mean, how could you miss him with the press over his Hamlet?
Well, he's just done Sherlock and Hamlet. I mean, he has, of course, been the Carnoonian thing in Star Trek Into Darkness. I mean, that was pretty significant, but...
It baffles me just as much as Leonardo DiCaprio not winning an Oscar yet.
Which I think is going to be corrected, because The Revenant is an amazing film. We're discussing it next year, but it so happened the director had a private screening, and I was kindly permitted to see it and meet him afterwards, and it is an extraordinary film, and it is going to, as you know, the Golden Globes are divided into drama and comedy musical, and no musicals this year. The drama section, the battle is going to be between the superb Spotlight, about 1970s priests, this was set in the 1970s, of child abuse by priests in Boston. It's a cause célèbre, and it's a superb film by Tom McCarthy. That will be against Alessandro González Iñárritu's amazing The Revenant. And DiCaprio is very likely to win Best Actor. But don't bank on it at the Globes, because remember what happened last year. At the Oscars, Birdman won Best Picture. At the Globes, Birdman didn't even win Best Comedy. Grand Budapest Hotel did. So I think they may remember that, and I think Alessandro González Iñárritu directed The Revenant. I think he will probably win Best Director this year. I think they will definitely make amends. But it's all very exciting. Incidentally, do you regard The Martian as a comedy? I regarded it as a drama. I mean, bits are humorous.
I would definitely say it's in the drama category.
Yeah.
I mean, directed by Ridley Scott, based on the book by Andy Weir, about a man who's abandoned on Mars. It's not, after all, Robinson Crusoe on Mars, which clearly was less sort of serious. Although,
the interesting thing with the Globes is that they've billed it as a comedy, and it's almost certainly going to win. It'll win Best Comedy, and also it'll win Best Actor in the comedy section for Matt Damon.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Very strange indeed.
Have they taken leave of their senses, Richard?
Well, I did wonder. I was doing a CNN piece on this, and I did question, and a lot of people have been questioning, The Martian. You can include, it appears, a Foreign Press Association. They have a special niche for the Globes. They have since 1944, and 93 of them make these choices, and it's a very glamorous ceremony, and they've got Ricky Gervais, who won't be diverted, I hope, too much there, but he's back.
Oh, I know, Richard, you're a secret Ricky Gervais fan.
It's very secret. I mean, I like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I thought they did it fabulously.
Yeah. Well, like I say, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, what's not to appreciate in that sort of situation? Okay, so just sort of setting the scene, because there may astoundingly be one or two people listening to this particular production who might be confused about the Golden Globes, the Oscars, the whole scenario, the BAFTAs and so on. The schedule, of course, which kind of kicks off now, and basically, Heather, we can look forward to probably week on week with Richard Fitzwilliam some kind of reference to Academy Awards until they're all sorted out at the end of February or March-ish.
Richard has the nominations for the Golden Globes, divided of 25 categories, 14 are film, 11 are television, And what we've seen is, you know, the Foreign Press Association, as I mentioned, 93 people having this unique spot. And it is very, very interesting to see the publicity and the fact that there is a certain buzz about it, even though if you actually look at the last 20 years, you'll find 10 of them, the film that wins at the Oscars didn't win in either category of drama or comedy musical at the Globes. But it's all, as you say, it's part of the buzz of it. And on the 10th of January, we will find out.
We can barely wait.
And the BAFTAs, of course, come up, and then the Oscars, as you say, so it is exciting.
It's just award season. But having sort of set the scene, whetted the appetite, and skipped dexterously, as only you can, Richard, from the sheer delight of the wondrous Who's Who debacle, and I don't think that's too strong a word to actually use these days, the Who's Who debacle, on to, obviously, the Golden Globes, and the peculiarities, shall we say, of some of the categorisations within the Golden Globes. Which movies are you going to share with us today in terms of previews the week before Star Wars is released across the world?
Sunset Song and Grandma.
There we are. So, Sunset Song, let's go with it, Richard.
Well, Terence Davies, a very highly regarded British director, and haunted by the most frightful child abuse which he suffered when very, very young, with his father. I mean, this is a theme. It was a theme in Distant Voices to Lives, where the father, played by Pete Postlethwaite, is absolutely unforgettable. And you have, again, the recurrence of this. It's a film set before and during the First World War. The model, actress Agnes Dane, as Chris, who gives an excellent performance. It's basically her rite of passage, growing up with a father played by Peter Mullen, who's superbly, by the way, who's an absolute brute on a farm in a remote Scottish village, and her brother is terrified of him. Her mother, well, she's allowed no character or room to breathe at all. And what happens subsequent to her father's death, and what also happens, and how the First World War affects her life and the life of her husband, who, I have to say, also very, very good performance. We're looking at a movie which is very poetic. Kevin Guthrie plays Evan, whom she marries, and then comes the war. The war with its pressures. If you don't enlist, you're considered a coward. But also, this is a film not only about character and development of character in early life, it's also a film about the land, and they are extraordinarily lyrical visuals in this movie. It mixes violence and poetry in a way that is so unusual. I was fascinated by it. Sometimes it's really tough viewing, and also sometimes tough on the ears, the screaming in certain scenes.
So, Richard, it seems to have polarized some of your other colleagues in this, because The Guardian actually used the term a lyrical triumph with respect to Sunset Song, whereas The Telegraph, a heartbreaking disappointment.
I suppose that it depends how you relate to it. I've been trying to avoid any spoilers as to what might or might not happen come the war, and there's no doubt that it's a highly political film. That didn't surprise me. The dialogue is extremely good. There are one or two flaws, I felt, in the way matters developed climactically, but there's no doubt there is this lyricism, and visually, the landscapes are haunting. Terence Davies is a remarkable film director. He admitted he would probably appeal more, if one takes it superficially, to Guardian readers with his political outlook than perhaps to some of The Telegraph, but that's not the way reviewers should consider a movie, and I think it's an amazing film. I think it has this, as I say, a blend of poetry and violence. I've rarely seen quite
okay.
this. It's very powerful.
A blend of poetry and violence. Does that appeal to your good self, Heather Harrington?
Yeah, it does.
It's like the story of her life, actually, Richard.
Yeah.
Blend of poetry and violence. Just an actress in every sense of the word there. So great stuff. Richard, get Heather started on her experience with the singer of Spectre's theme tune, by the way, Sam
Smith.
You see, I forgot his name. Exactly.
What happened?
Well, he went public last week. Do you want to share that again with Richard?
Yes, definitely.
Rich, go.
Yeah. I was presenting an interview artist at a festival called Wildlife Festival, a wireless festival. There was various ones. And I had the pleasure, someone's there, of meeting Sam Smith. He wasn't headlining on the lineup. However, my magazine that I work for said, you know, maybe approach him just for a picture for the magazine, you know, promotion. I approached Sam Smith for a picture, nothing more. Didn't even want a conversation from him.
Didn't even want a conversation with Heather Arrington.
And he was, I won't say what he said, but he was incredibly rude.
It's not
a very sad thing to hear.
Yeah.
And it gets out. You see, it's been released on this show. Now Richard's going to be... So it's not good, is it? Because as I said last week, Richard, if you're not good to poke on the way up, when you're sliding down that other hill, can be very traumatic for you.
Exactly.
Very true. And not everyone starts at the top and works their way down like Orson Welles. Normally it's a battle, but it's wise, as you battle towards the top, to be caring and polite and courteous. Yeah. Absolutely. Liz Brewer should visit him, I think.
Now, if we set Liz Brewer on, Sam, I mean, carnage would ensue, is all I can say, Richard. Carnage would ensue, but never mind. It's, anyway.
Well, that's what happens with Grandma, I have to say.
But it's got Lily Tomlin, and it's got Julia Gardner, and you've basically got Lily Tomlin, who makes Cranky look cool. I just thought it was a tribute to Clive Dunn singing Grandma. Oh, no, that was Grandpa, that was Granddad. Sorry, wrong sex, wrong gender.
Grandma's such fun, because what it is a comedy with a lot of very touching moments. It's dominated by a star turn from Lily Tomlin, because she plays Elle, who's a lesbian poet. Her partner's recently died, and she's just broken up with a younger admirer. But her granddaughter, at 18, wants money to have an abortion, and not to tell her mother, because Elle and her daughter don't speak, and nor a great deal do her mother and daughter. This is Marcia Gay Harden as Judy, pretty impossible, as you probably gather. So Elle, who's just paid off all her debts but has no money, has to track down anyone she hopes can give her a loan or buy perhaps signed copies of books by authors or asking an old flame for a loan. All of this we start to learn about Elle's background. And Lily Tomlin's terrific. She's tough, she's tempestuous, she's hilarious. It's a tour de force.
Is she actually a misanthropic poet, Richard?
Well, no, I wouldn't say she's misanthropic at all. I'd say she's a character. I'd say she's a curmudgeon with a soul. There's no doubt there's a heart underneath the pretty, feisty, and sometimes tough rhetoric. There is a lot in this movie, and it's well-scripted, and it's extremely well-acted. Lily Tomlin, a nomination at the Globes for Best Actress in Comedy. Julia Garner, Sage, her granddaughter. Very good performance. Marcia Gay Harden overacts a bit as Judy, but then she has to be a bit snooty as the mother. And Judy Greer as Olivia, who was the most recent share of Elle's life. Rather attractive performance. You care about these people. You could not only laugh at the situations, and there's an absolutely hilarious one where Elle argues, she doesn't have much of a chance to argue with a child who's demonstrating outside an anti-abortion clinic. It's worth seeing for that moment alone, but it's a terrifically entertaining movie. And as I say, I did care about what happened to its characters, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Phenomenal. But the bottom line is, Richard, it's directed, of course, by the wonderful Paul Weitz. You said it's a comedy. Is it? I mean,
this is a comedy, but you come to The Martian.
Let me just hold that for a moment, because I'm going to bring in our ace author here and top writer, of course, crime writer extraordinaire, and indeed science fiction aficionado, Jenny Finch. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine and happy to be here.
Wonderful. Our book of the month will be emerging very shortly. But we have Richard Fitzwilliams online at present. He shocked us today. Heather and myself are still, our jaws have just about resumed their normal position after hitting the floor dramatically.
You were gawping when I walked in. I wondered what it was.
Exactly. And the message was, effectively, that, well, Richard, would you like to share? It's about The Martian, because in the Golden Globes, The Martian has been categorised as a comedy.
The Martian, in my opinion, is rather dramatic. I mean, the fact that the Matt Damon's character as the astronaut fertilizes his own food and so forth. I mean, you can have a certain amount of
but it's a dramatic movie
which relies on, can he be rescued in time, and the world is watching, how will this be arranged? This is, I thought, an extremely effective imaginative drama from Ridley Scott.
Exactly, I would agree, an imaginative affecting drama. I mean, Jenny, you've got lots of content in the film industry and so on and so forth. I mean, The Martian as a comedy, surely not. I mean, are they playing on the fact that life is a comedy to those who think, a tragedy to those who feel?
I think you're overthinking it there.
Who's that a quote from, by the way?
Oh, I'll let you know afterwards. You know, it's come through a variety. I know we've shared this before. It's one of my pet favourites, and I think it comes from a philosopher, actually.
Probably.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Jenny, you would not agree then, The Martian, not a comedy.
I would have thought not. No, I think the basic premise is hardly light-hearted, which surely is the basis of most comedy, unless it's the most cruel comedy in the world.
Maybe it's cruel comedy, Richard. Maybe that's the category they're looking for.
Well, it's eccentric. I mean, it was quite interesting. For example, if you look at Carol, a film that I greatly admired, you had Rooney Mara and Cate Blanchett playing lesbian lovers in the 1950s. Interesting that it was considered likely Mara would be cast as, or categorized as, best supporting actress to Cate Blanchett's, what he says, the eponymous heroine of the movie, and the Globes, and I think rightly, put them both in the same category, which is for Best Actress Drama. That will mean that Mara, however, is not, almost certainly won't win, which she would have had she been in Best Supporting Actress. But here's the interesting thing. You had Brie Larson, brilliant in Room, a movie we'll come to next year. It's extraordinary. You also had Saoirse Ronan, who was wonderful in Brooklyn. I'm sure you'll agree, at marvellous movie, which lost out quite a bit. There were some losers. Haven't dwelt on the losers. I bet Steven Spielberg feels pretty sore that Bridge of Spies only had Mark Rylance as best.
Outrageous. I mean, you know, Steven, he needs so much to actually get into those winning categories again. You know,
this is also the case with Quentin Tarantino. I don't think he's pleased that Jennifer Jason Leigh, supporting actress nomination for The Hateful Eight. I haven't seen it, but Tony just opened it, a preview in the States, but again, those movies were expecting more, Brooklyn was expecting more, and for Mad Max Fury Road to edge them out, or edge out, Tarantino, by the way, says The Hateful Eight is a comedy, so this is starting to confuse
them.
I mean, I think listeners may find the fact
I always thought one of Tarantino's...
To remind them, Golden Globes categories, the best film, best actor, and best actress, the for drama and for comedy, so that's six categories, and usually in most of them, I mean, you can hardly miss, really. The Oscars do, or are influenced by the Globes, but for Best Picture, about half the times, the Globes don't choose it. So it's something that...
It's a puzzlement.
It's a... Yul Brynner in The King...
Precisely, precisely. Straight in there. No missing about whatsoever. And indeed, as I've often said, you know, Quentin Tarantino, he really has become the equivalent to sort of America's carry-on coordinator with some of his movies. You know, obviously Kill Bill 1 and 2. Hilarious.
Well, yes, I like those. Those are superb.
That's the thing. Jenny, rebrand Alex Hastings as not crime drama. Situation comedy. Ah! Exactly. That's genius stuff there. Richard, it's been phenomenal, and I feel delighted you've been able to join us on one of our crazy Friday mornings as opposed to what we normally do, which of course is the Thursday morning. Well, I think we'll be back next week on the Thursday morning slot, but Jenny, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams? Can you remember them? Because I know yes, he had a reasonably interesting time. Is he coming back again? Go,
yes.
go.
Have you had a reasonably interesting morning with us?
Well, yes, because we've covered so much. The Golden Globes, who's who, and Alex, I agree. I mean, it's...
And
that's Alex. That's Alex for you every time. And will you be joining us again, please?
By no means. What? But in this case, I think I've uncovered pretty big omissions.
Yeah,
and just by the way, because they didn't come up, if you've got a lot of Hollywood's top actors here, why not include... Ever heard of Jane Fonda? Russell Crowe?
Nice, yeah.
Incidentally, quite interesting. Yeah.
Well, there's always a place for them on the Midweek Drive, or indeed sort of the Book of the Month, if they fancy joining us,
absolutely.
Really.
You
know, so. You just get the impression that Who's Who doesn't include people who it regards as being unclubbable. I mean, Richard Harris didn't make it, Russell Crowe's, we know.
Jenny Finch, you weren't in International Who's Who this time around, were you?
Not this time, but I told them to hold off for a bit.
Ah? International Who's Who included these... the vast majority, I mean, some of them have recently, Michael Fassbender, for example, Benedict Cumberbatch, or Mark Rylance. You see, you can follow the theatre. How can you leave Mark Rylance out?
How?
You can't. They have.
It's, again, another one of those questions which will probably vex us as much as how could Sam Smith have been rude to Heather Errington?
Well, that's outrageous.
You'll find out that story as well, Jenny. It's all right. Yeah. We won't rest there, you know. Absolutely. We'll sort of make that whole boat through. I never liked the theme to Spectre anyway. Good movie. Pity about a theme. And the final question, of course, Jenny, is...
Would you consider joining us again?
I sincerely hope so.